pack will put it up on the screen for us. John 15, verse 1. Now, we read this a couple of weeks ago, but we're going to read it again this morning. And I feel like today is going to be really a foundational day. Somebody knows if you're going to build a tall, big building, you need a deep foundation. All right, verse 1 through 7. He says, I am the true vine. This is red, so we know it's Jesus talking and saying of himself, he is the true vine. And my Father, which would be God, is the husbandman. Now, the Living Bible translation says there, it says, and my Father is the gardener. So, let's get this. Jesus is the vine, kind of think like a grapevine. Then the grapevine has, you know, roots and all that. Then it has branches that comes all off of it that the grapes hang on, right? Well, it says, he's the vine, we're the branches, but God is the gardener. He knows exactly what you need in your soil and what you need to take out. Our garden wasn't doing too good one year, so I did a soil sample, and I took it up there to the co-op. And it came back, and they told me every kind of thing that I needed to add and what I needed to add to take out certain things. Y'all not saying nothing. We are God's garden. The Bible says we are the planting of the Lord. He goes on here and he says, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch, which is us, that beareth fruit, he purges. He cleanses it. He cuts it off. He prunes it off. How does he do that? He deals with you. He deals with you about relationships you don't need in your life that is bringing either no good fruit or just idle. We don't need those. I got to have relationships, but how many knows? Just as God sows good relationships into our lives, the enemy tries to sow bad relationships in our lives. So even though you love people, they may be your family, they may be Christians, this, that, and another, there's some things that I can't allow to come into my garden. Me and you, we can talk, we can fellowship at church, and I mean everybody, or at my job or something like that. But as far as hang out with you and me and you be intimate with my thoughts and me be intimate with your thoughts and feelings, no. Why? Because I can't let that get in my garden. The Bible says you'll know them by their fruit. And it don't mean that you've seen them do something bad one time. I mean, we all make mistakes or sin or mess up and have to repent. It's talking about a life. What kind of fruit do you see coming from the life over a period of time? Is it good or is it bad? Well, if it's bad, you can't let those same seeds get in your garden. Why? Because you'll start growing bad. I love you, but I can't hang out with you. No, not too much. You know what I'm saying, right? About poke yourself in the eye with those glasses. He goes on here and he says, purges it, why? That it may bring forth more fruit. It may be that you're what you're watching. I like TV. I really like TV. You know what I asked for Christmas? TV. I would have liked to have had 100 inch if they made them. Why? I like TV. That's just, maybe you don't like TV, don't want to watch TV. Maybe radio's your thing. Maybe hunting's your thing. I don't know. But I really like TV. So this year I asked for a TV for Christmas. So I got a 70-inch TV. I got me a surround sound. Scotty's gone yesterday after the giveaway. And I'm sitting there and I'm not just hearing the gunshots. I'm feeling the gunshots. That's my thing. Now, nothing wrong with TV. But how many of us, sometimes you can watch too much of it and it become a problem. Sometimes you can watch the wrong thing and bad seeds get in you. Why? Have y'all ever noticed, y'all ever watched the Iron Bowl or something like that, you know, the SEC and all that stuff, and all of a sudden they start putting commercials on during halftime and all that. They pay millions of dollars for commercials in that spot. Why? There is billions of people watching, and they want to plant a seed, Johnny, that you want that Miller Lite. They want to plant a seed that you want that. What is his? Mayhem's insurance. I like Mayhem. Y'all see him? He's always causing a problem. But if you got this certain kind of insurance, it don't matter when Mayhem comes. Why? They're trying to plant a seed in you. So that seed will get in you and it will grow and you will go out and buy their product. Or you will go out and take out their insurance. Whatever that the case may be. Now, it says here, Verse 4, he says, abide in me. The word abide there means stay, live there, dwell there. And I in you, as the branch, which is me and you, cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine. No more can you, except you abide in me. Talking about Jesus himself. He says, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Notice this. If you abide in me, and what? My words. My words. My teachings. My sayings. My words. He says, abide in you. They live in you. Just like you ate a potato yesterday, or maybe you did it anyway. Say you ate a potato yesterday, you chewed it, you cooked it, you chewed it up, you swallowed it, your body digested it, it became a part of you. You can't get it out no more. That's what he's saying here. He says, if you abide in me and my words live in you, on the inside of you like that. He says, in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. He says, herein is my Father glorified. He said that you bear much fruit, so shall you be my disciples. Now, let's look at Proverbs 4. Did I tell y'all title? God's Word. And like I said, I feel like today's going to be a foundational day. This can get good. Proverbs 4. And listen, don't let these scriptures be too familiar to you. You might can quote them back and forward, but not get no fruit out of them. Why? Because they're not living on the inside of it. He didn't say just because you can quote it. How many knows the devil quotes scripture to Jesus? And he didn't get no benefit out of that word whatsoever. But here in Proverbs chapter 4, excuse me, we're going to start reading in verse 20. Real slow. He says, my son, are we all sons of God that's been born again? Absolutely. We're not the son of God, but we are a son of God. The Bible calls Jesus our brother. He says, my son, notice he says, attend to what? My words. He says, incline thine ear unto what? My sayings or my teachings. He says, let them not depart from where? You not only have natural eyes, you have spiritual eyes, the Bible says. He says, keep them, let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of where? Not your head. How do I get them to my heart? And this is way ahead of myself. I hear the word. I meditate on the word. I eat the word. Kind of like a cow eats all day long and then lays down and chews all night long. Then that word. So you know when it goes from here to here, because now it's producing fruit. Where before, it's up here. And it don't do no good. But he says there, keep them in the midst of thine heart. He says, for they are life. What's life? His words, his sayings, his teachings, right? He says, for they are life unto who? Everybody don't find them. You can be a Christian and not find them. Why? He says, if you seek, you'll find. Do you know how many Christians there are today? They don't seek. And that's why their lives are still pretty much nearly in the same kind of wreck it was when they got born again. You'll see people, they'll get born again, and they'll come to church like a house of fire for 2 or 3 weeks or a month, you know, and, oh, they're getting a little victory, and then you don't see them for a couple of weeks, and then they'll come back and they'll testify, the devil's been on my back, and I've just about got a divorce, and I've had it. Why? This is not becoming a part of you. See, Christianity, being a Christian is not something you do part-time. This is all the time. His word, inclining our ear to his words and his teachings, is not supposed to be a part-time thing. Why? Because it's going to bring the fruit. See, I have a place to go. I have a destiny. You have a place to go and you have a destiny. But how many knows God has a way to get you there? If I'm God's garden and you're God's garden, his word is his seed. And he says he watches over his word to perform. It's not my job to make the seed grow. I can't. It's that job's ground out there. You go out there and you plant a tree, you plant a seed, whatever you plant, that ground knows how to bring forth, make that seed grow and bring forth that fruit. But somebody's got to plant it. Somebody's got to water it. It can't live. They can't nothing live without water. You can go, what, 3 to 5 days without water, they say? That's it. Can't nothing survive without water. So it's not just you go to church, it's a good word, woo, that was so good, and then you talk about it on the way home and you just let it go. Why? Because it's a seed. If it, listen, a word that means something to you, whether it comes forth through here or reading or through preaching of TV or radio, don't let it go. It meant something to you for a reason. And it got planted on the inside of you. Then you take that thing up and you meditate on it. You look at it. You don't let it depart from your eyes. You keep it coming out of your mouth day and night. You keep hearing word, God's word, on the same subject. Why? You got to water it, got to water it, got to water it, got to water it, got to water it. The Bible says as long as the earth remains, there'll be seed time and harvest. As long as we are here, there will be seed time of God's word, and then there'll be harvest of God's word. But there's some people, they never put in any seed. And they can't figure out for the life of them why they never get a harvest, why their life never matches up with this word. But I believe God's going to help us, and he's going to show us. I believe I have it in my heart by the Spirit of God, we are going to go line upon line, precept upon precept. So don't get tired of hearing about the same thing, because we'll end up getting the harvest of the word. He says, keep them, keep thy word with all diligence. Well, let's go back to 22. He says, his words, his sayings, his teachings are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, the other translation, it says that it is health, healing, and medicine to all their flesh. See, Sandy, I saw an area in my life, and I've known it for a little while now, but it's like, and God had me go back and listen to the old tapes, to the old prophecies. There's some people that prophesied, and I've got it on tape. God has now done everything in that prophecy that he said he would do in our lives. Then there's others, it ain't all come to pass yet. But now I forgot why I was going to tell you something. Oh yeah, I remember now. Thank you, Holy Ghost. See, I have been really big in the area of finances. You know why? I needed everything the day I got saved. And God is faithful to send his word. The Bible says he sent his word and healed me and delivered me. Right? But I've noticed the last few years, it's probably been, I don't know, maybe 2023, about 5 or 6 years, about this head thing that comes and goes and different things like that. And it's like, the Lord is like, the reason why you're still having that problem is because you ain't planted and watered and received the harvest of the seed of healing and health. So you can be real strong in one area and be getting a big harvest in finances, but be so spiritually weak and dull and no seed growing in there to where your body can just be ravaged with sickness and disease, and it is not the will of God. Then you got unbelieving Christians that comes along and tells, God's trying to teach you something. That's nowhere in Scripture. The Bible says the grace of God teaches us. I already quoted that Scripture. It says the Holy Ghost is our teacher, that he brings the word back to our remembrance. He can't bring it back to your remembrance, honey, if you never put it in. And he goes on here. So, I got to tighten up. I got my, And I'm not telling y'all to do this. I'm just telling you what God has told me. You know, when, so we all read our chapter, you know, whoever does. You know, 5 days a week, Monday through Friday, we have a thing. So we're all reading the same thing or whatever. But there's Christians been saved 30, 40, 50 years. They have never read the whole Bible, not even one time. How many knows that's not good? You can eat potatoes and green beans and tomatoes and onions, and you'll be getting the same nutrients all the time. But what about the carrots? What about the peas? What about the peach cobbler that's still on the plate that you've never even tasted? You're not getting a bit of nutrients out of that. So we need to be reading all of the Word. So I've made plans. God spoke to my heart. I made plans. I'm still going to read with y'all, but then I downloaded me one that you has certain chapters. You have to read this many chapters to make it through in a year. Why? Because if I'm going to go higher, I got to have more seed planted, and I got to water more seed. Right? That's everybody. Now, so if you're not been reading your Bible, why would you want to just survive when you could thrive? And thriving is the will of God. Why would you want to have just a little bit of health and healing and medicine instead of a whole lot to where you live in divine health? You see a sickness and disease out here coming at you, and you've already got the shield up. Right? The choice is ours. God's already did it all. Excuse me. He says, for they are life unto those that find them. That means you're going to have to seek them out, his words, his teachings, his sayings, and help to all their flesh. Translation says it's medicine. He says, keep thy heart with all diligence. What is it you got to keep? Your garden. Your heart is your garden. Whatever gets in there, good, bad, ugly, that heart is just like that ground out there. That ground don't know whether to make a tomato plant or a morning glory grow. It grows both of them the same. That's why he says here, guard your heart with all diligence. He says, for out of it, what? Your heart are the issues of life. Now, the Amplified Bible says it this way. He says, my son, attend to my words. Consent and submit to my sayings. Let them not depart from your sight. Keep them in the center of your heart. What's that mean? Day and night. It would help you if you would find you, ask the Lord to give you a song that you can just sing day and night. The Bible says whoever's mind is stayed on the Lord, he will keep their heart in perfect peace. Because see, you thinking about something all the time, day and night. You may not realize what you're thinking about. Sometimes you need to walk in the back door yourself and say, just what are we thinking about here? Why? Because like I said, all day long. There's times I get up and I hear this. I just don't feel good today. That's a seed trying to get in me to come out of my mouth. Who told me to ask it myself whether I feel good or not? I find all the scriptures I find, it says, don't feel, don't feel, don't feel, don't try to feel. Do what he says, right? He says, keep them in your heart with all guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. Excuse me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 1. God is an awesome God. He is absolute. You know what I thought about last night? And I knew it already. But how many know sometimes you think about things and you just see them in a little different light? Because I know the Bible says God knows our thoughts from afar, and he's talking about everybody. But Sandy, I thought, God knows every thought. There's over 6 billion people on the planet, they say. God knows everybody's thoughts all at the same time. I can't even keep up my own thoughts sometimes. He knows everybody's all the time. Is that not something? Now, see, maybe it don't mean nothing to you. Because, see, y'all ever done this before? Sandy, you ever said something and you go tell Robert or you tell one of your friends or somebody, you know, and it's your 51st time to see it and hear it. I mean, to hear it. And you're like, oh, y'all ever done that? I'll get that and I'll go tell Scott and he'll be like, yeah, that's good. And I'm like, are you serious? Oh, this is life-changing. This is amazing. It's his third time to hear it. It's my 51st time to hear it. That's what I'm saying. You got to hear it and hear it and hear it. It says faith comes by hearing. Not by what you heard. What you heard, faith came and you used it and it brought fruit. But now you got to continue hearing. See, so the enemy in the flesh likes to always come up with something. You need a new revelation. No, you don't. If you got one, just use the one you got. And whatever you use, you will get more. But if you don't use what you got, what you seem to have will be taken away, he says. So let's look here at, what'd I tell you, 1 Peter? Okay, I need to get over. Whew, I feel like Smokey and the Bandit. I got a long ways to go and a short time to get there. But I knew before I got started this morning, this is going to be a while. Where is Peter? Where did you go here? There you are. All right, 1 Peter chapter 1. Excuse me. Had a frog over here, Marshall. For time's sake, I don't like to do it, but for time's sake, we're going to pick this up in 18. He says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God." Don't say be in the Word now, it says be in God, right? Mark says have faith in God. He says, "Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth of the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently." Notice this, verse 23. "Being born again, not of corruptible," what? "Seed." The Word of God, the Bible says, is seed. Y'all remember, what is it, Mark 4 over there? The sower sows the Word. What? Nothing wrong with the Word. Why? God's Word, he says right here, is incorruptible. That word incorruptible, I looked it up in the Webster's Dictionary. It says not capable of being corrupted morally, not subject to decay. Do you know what that means? The Bible says in Hebrews 4:12, it says the Word of God is quick. It's living. It's powerful. Right? It's not subject to decay. It cannot decay. It never grows old. You'll hear people, you know, try to talk to them about the Lord or tell them what the Word says or something. Yeah, well, we live in 2023. The Word of God's not relevant. The Word of God is always relevant. Culture may change. People may change. Methods may change. But the Word will never change. Jesus Christ said, "I am the same today, yesterday, and forevermore." And the Bible says he is the Word. That tries to blow my mind, for a lack of a better way of saying it. He is the Word. We're gonna see it. He goes on here. So the Word of God is always relevant to my situation. I don't care what time of day it is, what year it is. It never fades out. It never becomes irrelevant. It's never obsolete. It's never void of power. Ever. He goes on, he says, being born again, he says, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, notice it, by the Word of God. How'd you get born again? You heard the word of the gospel somehow in some form or another, and there was enough power in that Word of God to bring you from death to life. To bring you from something old to not you've been redone. You have been totally recreated, never been before. Old things, everything old passed away, and behold, all things are become new, and all things are of God, he says. From the Word. Oh, glory to God. I'm just like, God, that is amazing. That a Word can do that to me? A Word. What it sounds like. And he says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, notice, which liveth and abideth how long? Forever. And the thing about it is, Sandy, that Word don't change. And the Bible says every seed has the fruit of its own kind. You'll never plant a tomato seed and get an apple tree. Why? The DNA of a tomato is in that seed. God planted his word, which is seed, into us and made us like him. And he fully intends us to live the life that he lives. That is awesome to me. I got to get on here. I'm a few minutes here before I have to stop. He says, for all flesh is as grass, and the glory of man is the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord. That is what that says. He says, but the word of the Lord does what? Endures forever. Forever. All eternity. It never changes. It never grows old. It's always fresh. It's always living. And it always has the fruit in it that it says. A prosperity seed has prosperity in it. A healing word has healing in it, right? A faithful word has faithfulness in it. But if I don't ever plant the word, I will never get the harvest. I'm telling you right now, the only reason that me and Scotty can say that we are debt-free and can be in compliance with that scripture right now, owe no man nothing but to love him, is because after we got born again, God began to speak to us through preaching. I'm telling you, we're so green. We don't know nothing. And what Scotty did think he knowed was a bunch of religion. I started reading the Amplified Bible, and you'd think I was just cursed. And God forbid a woman ever say anything, you know. And God had to uproot that stuff. But he began to speak to us his word, just like the scriptures would come, you know. God takes pleasure. I like anything that God takes pleasure in. He says God takes pleasure in what? The prosperity. Now, that's not just finances. That's finances. That's prospering in my mind. That's prospering in my soul, where I've got the peace of God that passes all understanding. It says, but God takes pleasure. Well, Cindy, don't you think if he takes pleasure, it's a good thing to him? It says he takes pleasure in the prosperity of his saints. Then, you know, it come up, you know, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. Well, you got to have something if you're going to leave something. Whether it's a legacy, or it's finances, or it's cars, or houses, what, our ministry? You got to have it first before you can leave it. Well, God started bringing all these seeds to us of his word in this area. And we're putting it in, and we're so hungry, and we're watering, and we're going to church, and we're just so happy. And we go in, and we hear the word. The word gets planted in us. We talk about it all the way home. We're so excited, and then we do our best to do the word. And then over 28 years, that word, a little bit at a time, is bringing a harvest. I can tell you exactly how it started. He began to put his word in us. We began to water that word with other preaching, with other scriptures, with speaking it out of our mouth, with believing God that it is going to do exactly what he said he would do. And then we'd come up to this place, Johnny, that God would say, no more borrowing from you, Granny and Papa. Oh, y'all didn't say nothing. See, y'all don't know what that was for me. I had nothing. Sometimes I ain't even got nothing to eat. So if my car breaks down, I got to go see Granny and Papa. Why? Because they got the money, honey. And if I do right, they'll let me have it. Do you know what God says? I'm going to remove every crutch and everything that you have ever and will ever depend on because I love you. All the people waiting on your income taxes, get a revelation. You know what I heard on the news a couple weeks ago, Sandy? They were saying there's some people still waiting on their income tax returns to come in. Now, I don't know what the circumstances was. I didn't stick around to hear it. I usually try to hear the weather, you know, and cut that off and go on about my business or whatever. So you got people right now in 2023 still waiting on their 2021 tax refunds to get here. And you got Christians still waiting on their 2022 now to get here in 2023. And you know what God's going to say to some of them, Johnny? Not today. No more of that. Why? Because he loves you. There come a time to where God said, okay, no more trusting in all kids to take care of your son. You trust me. And see, it's not easy when you bring yourself off of that stuff. That's what I'm talking about. The pruning. What do we think pruning is? It hurts. I'm sure probably, y'all ever pruned a tree and see, especially a pine tree, what comes out? Sap starts running out. But God says, I love you enough that I'm going to send you my word, and I'm going to deal with you. And every time that you grow a little bit and you get to that place to where it's time to come up a little higher, I'm going to let you know. Rich people don't have all kids insurance. And here Scotty is running around telling everybody how rich we are. In the natural, when you look at us, we're not nowhere near rich. When we're not looking in the natural, Johnny, that word has come on the inside of us. It's been planted and it's been watered, and now it's grown and it's starting to get a little bit of ear in the corn. And he gets to this place and says, nope, no more right here. If you want to go higher, you got to cut this off and trust further in me. Didn't he say if I abide in him? Not if I abide in my income taxes. You better not trust in your job. Do you know how many people lost their job in 2020 and 2021? You know what started coming out of Scotty's mouth the instant COVID hit? I heard him. He's not talking to me, but I heard him talking. He said, thank you, Lord, that I will prosper in 2020 greater than I have ever prospered in my life. But if that word's not in you, you won't say it. And when you get there, that ain't the time to be saying no bunch of junk. And do you realize this earth, the things, it's not going to get no better? Read your Bible. We just got through reading the book of Revelation. You can't stop it. You can't pray it away. You can't believe it away. But you know what you can do? Have the word of God, which is seed in your heart enough to where you live a life like they lived in Goshen while Egypt was in darkness. God knows how to deliver his own debt. See, that's not everybody. That's not you just because you become a Christian. That's the day this journey started. And the further you go, the higher up you go, to the bigger levels that you go, there's got to be more and more and more of me and you that has to go, that has to die. What did John the Baptist say when Jesus came? It says, he must increase, I must decrease. If you're ever going to get through that straight gate, and narrow is the way that's contracted by pressure, you got to come off. You got to come off of trusting in the income taxes. You got to come off of having a bad attitude every time something don't go your way. I went through one time. I like what I like to eat. And once I have in my mind and my belly has come into agreement with what I want to eat, my taste buds can taste it. Usually I've ate it before. And I'm like, that would taste good. I want that. I'm telling you, five or six times in a row, we would go out to eat, and it didn't matter where we went, Scotty's little order would be perfectly right every time, and mine ain't nowhere near what I wanted. You know what happened the first time? I'm telling you, it's just stupid. I'm telling you, can't they see the menu? I wanted a number one. Look at this on here. I told them no tomatoes. I don't eat tomatoes. Well, you got a hearing problem up there or what? And God's telling me all the time, Johnny, Chris, it's pruning. I don't like that attitude you got. I don't like that attitude. And if you come up a little higher and you're going to walk a little deeper in the anointing that I have in your life, and you're going to see greater things and greater glory and ministry and all this other stuff and people saved and healed and born again, then you got to go. And it took me a little while to get it. And Scotty had to help me. God forbid, I hate it when he helps me with anything. After about the second or third time, he said, I think this might be a test. And I'm like, you think? What is it? You have great revelation to figure that one out. Said over there with your order all right, sipping on your Coke. Y'all act like you don't know what I'm talking about. Your circumstances may be different, but I can guarantee you God is bringing about the same thing in every single one of us. Circumstances may be different. He says, I don't like that attitude. So until you get it and you pass that test, till you can eat that hamburger with the tomatoes and the sound like I don't like that mayonnaise and mustard and ketchup on my sandwich. I like ketchup, mustard, pickles, and onions, and a cheese on my hamburger. God forbid you tell me a hamburger with cheese. That just messes them slap up. So I had to learn, Sandy, to eat my hamburger with cheese, with some mayonnaise and some lettuce and some tomato on it, and just enjoy that baby like it was a steak. And it didn't happen. So you know what happened next time, Johnny? I got a little quicker that this might be a test. See, the quicker I see it, the quicker I can make an adjustment. We can get on with this game, right? But that's everybody. The pruning don't feel good. So if you got if you got relationships God's dealing with you about, you have this little bit inside when you're around them or you hear them talk or something. Who do you think it is? See, before I got saved, I didn't have no. It was, whew, yeah, same thing for me too. I'm telling you, let's go get them, whatever the case may be, party all night, whatever it is. But now I got this. Hey, something wrong with me and you there. I can love you, but I may have to love you from afar. I may work with you, but that don't mean I got a fellowship with you. Y'all hear what I'm telling you? Or you got this something other, like I said, rich people don't live off, their kids don't live off all kids. Pruning. God's got the snips out. Why? Because he loves us. And he wants to do the fullness in our lives in every area of what he has promised in his word. But he cannot do it by himself because he has bound his word to give us free will. He shows, he sends his word, he deals with our lives, but ultimately, it's us that makes the choice. But the thing about it is, we're not alone. When we make the choice to obey him, to cut something off or do something more or something, whatever the case may be that he's dealing with us, when we say, okay, God, and you may do it with tears in your eyes. Okay, God, I'm going to trust you here. I know you love me, and I'm going to trust you that this is for my good, even though it don't feel good. And God says, that's all I needed to hear. Bam, favor. Bam, doors open for you that you have tried to kick open for years. Opening doors where no man can shut. Shutting doors you don't need to go through. I don't need to go through every door. Closing those doors that don't need to be opened, that God don't want opened in my life. Doing things in my life that he could not do. Grace. The grace is God there. But God said it's going to take the faith, trusting me, relying on me and not on other things. See, I can't even rely on my husband. Number one, he's let me down. He's human. He can make mistakes, just like all of us or whatever. God says, don't trust in him, trust in me. Just like him, you know, y'all heard the stories, you know, well, she don't make the money, he would think, and all that. Well, you know how much it is easier it is sometimes for you to be able to do something to make some money than sit at home and just read the word and believe God? Ain't none of them easy. I seen Scotty before. I got to close with this. I'm telling you, especially when he first started out and blowing overhead door, he'd go sell, sell, sell. What's that mean? Talk to people, give out cards, ride around, see garage doors, houses going up. You go over there, you talk to them, you give them a card, you tell them who you are, blah, blah, blah. I've seen him do that without God saying it. And Sandy, nothing. I mean nothing. And then I have seen him where God would say, go work on the church. Phone start ringing like that. Or I have even known him to say, go fishing. And us being such a financial mess, and God say, don't say, in his mind he's thinking, I need to go sell, I need to go sell, I need to go sell. And God say, go fishing. And him go out there fishing, catching bass, and the phone just ringing off the hook. Why? God. God is in control of my life if I let him be. And he will bring whatever it is that I need. And I got to stop because I'm already way over. Does anybody have anything they'd like to share or comment on this before we close? Like I said, I think we're going to be on this for a while, and it's going to be good. And I'm believing God that we're all going to have ears to hear what he says, and we're all going to increase. Oh, sorry, Sandy, go ahead.